This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. In Chesapeake, Virginia today, jurors heard two very different portrayals of Lee Boyd Malvo. Opening statements began in the trial of the teenager. He's accused of helping carry out a string of random sniper killings in and around the nation's capital last year. The prosecution cast Malvo as a cunning killer who admitted his crimes. Malvo's attorneys depicted a troubled youth who was manipulated to the point of insanity by John Allen Muhammad. Malvo could face the death penalty in one of the sniper shootings, which killed FBI analyst Linda Franklin. NPR's Jackie Northam reports from the Courthouse Media Center.
The opening statements in Malvo's trial were nothing short of gripping. Both sides, the prosecution and the defense, unfolded their own version of the relationship between the now 18-year-old Malvo and his older alleged accomplice, John Allen Muhammad, and how that relationship led up to the killing spree during the fall of 2002. The lead prosecutor, Robert Horan, began his statement outlining the day Malvo and Muhammad were arrested at a roadside stop near Frederick, Maryland. Horan began introducing what will be crucial pieces of evidence to the jury. He told how the blue Caprice the two men had been driving in had been rigged to be a killing machine, how someone could easily move from the interior of the vehicle to the trunk, where the shots are believed to have been fired from. Horan then talked about the gun, a Bushmaster rifle, on which Malvo's fingerprints had been found. He said Malvo and Muhammad were, quote, a team by which one was the spotter and the other was the shooter. Then the Fairfax Commonwealth attorney started talking about the victims who had been killed or wounded by that gun. Horan showed photos of the victims and told how they were killed at random. Sitting at the defense table, wearing a pale blue shirt and gray, neatly pressed trousers, Malvo studied each photograph as it appeared on the screen and conferred a couple times with his counsel. Horan talked about how Malvo's attorneys would try to mount an insanity defense and how the defense would pull in mental health experts to testify on Malvo's behalf. But Horan said none of that would work once the jury heard the taped statement by Malvo, who bragged and laughed about the killings. But the defense has its own take on Malvo's taped statement. The lead defense attorney, Craig Cooley, said that Malvo was in a vulnerable state at the time of the confession and needed to exude an air of bravado, and that he referred to Muhammad as his father throughout the interrogation. The only question he asked was to inquire how Muhammad was doing. But all that came well into Cooley's two-hour opening statement. Up until then, he skillfully painted a picture of Malvo as lonely, unhappy, and malleable. Cooley broke the statement into three parts. First was Malvo's upbringing, how he was raised in Jamaica, poor, fatherless, and often abandoned by his mother. Then Cooley focused on Muhammad, his military record and his sniper training, and how he lost his three children to his ex-wife in a court battle. The last chapter in Cooley's opening statements shows how Malvo and Muhammad came together, and how the older man systematically began programming the teenager. Cooley told the jury that Muhammad also talked about creating a utopian society in Canada and taught him how to shoot a gun and about military strategy. Cooley said Muhammad became, quote, Malvo's confidant, military commander, and in short, his whole world. He told the jury that the defense doesn't dispute that Malvo did pull the trigger. Instead, they'll hear how Muhammad's extraordinary indoctrination led Malvo to do the killing. The jury will have until Monday to ponder the opening statements. Judge Jane Rausch said the trial had moved along faster than expected and not all the evidence or witnesses were ready. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Chesapeake.